Good morning. Thank you again for letting me come and preach to you today. It's always an honor to be able to do this. So will you bow your heads, please? Oh, Heavenly Lord, we are here today to honor the mothers and daughters in our lives and to see how you adopted one such daughter into your family. Bless us all, your flock, and bless the words that I say today. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. So our reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Euphrates from Bethlehem in Judea. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives, and the name of the one was Orph, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judea. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and daughters. You all, if you are not a mother, you have a mother, which means you're a daughter. So I always feel we should honor all women as we do on this day. As you can see, I did not go with a gospel reading this morning because I felt what was suggested for today was did not talk about mothers and daughters and the importance they serve now and back in ancient times. I chose a set of verses out of a very small but very important book, the book of Ruth. It's only 4 chapters. Takes about 20 minutes when I read it this morning once again. I was able to find some good commentary in a book called The Mothers and the Daughters of the Bible Speak, which I just so happen to have right here. And if I could have swung it, I would have bought all of you one of these copies. But all I can do is suggest that you go buy it, because it has some great Bible stories of daughters and mothers, and has some great questions in the back to consider. I want to start with a true story this morning. So back in the 1940s, there was this young lady and this young gentleman. And with their parents' permission, they got married. And they went and they started their life. And somewhere in amongst their doing their life, they found out that they could not have children. So they decided, with their pastor's permission and his encouragement, to adopt some children. So what they did was, they looked at their housing situation, and they knew they could not have a child unless they had running water. So they had to tear down their house and pour a basement. Once they poured this basement, the county came back and said, "We have children for you." Not child, children. Two, a set of twin boys. And the family accepted them into their house and loved them as their own. And they lived in the basement while the rest of the house was being built on top of them. Two more times for this family, they requested children. They didn't say child the next time. Children. And two times, they were blessed with two beautiful girls. And the family went on. The family did what families do. And in about 5 years, the husband had a sudden heart attack, and he passed away. And now here this young lady is with four children, and the breadwinner has gone up to be with the Lord. That's similar to where we kind of find Naomi in our reading this morning. So she has gone, her and her husband went to Moab. They went to Moab because there was no food in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means bread of food, bread of life. But they had to leave because there was a famine. And they chose Moab. So Moab is about 80 miles away from Bethlehem if you walk it. So for us, that's from here to Toma. Takes about an hour. But it doesn't take that long when you're on foot with all your possessions going from one town to another in the ancient world. Once they got to Moab, she was left, her husband passed away. She's left with her sons. We do not know how old they were, but they must have been old enough to take care of their mother and eventually found wives of their own. Now, it's interesting that they picked Moab, because in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 3 through 6, we hear Moses tell the Israelites, "No Ammonite or Moabite is to enter the congregation of God, even to the 10th generation, nor any of his children ever. Those nations didn't treat you hospitably on your travels out of Egypt. And on top of that, they also hired Balaam, son of Beor from Pethor in Mesopotamia, to curse you. God, your God, refused to listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing. How God, your God, loves you. Don't even try to get along with them or do anything for them, ever." So then 10 years in, then the sons die. Now we have three women, all widows, with no one to take care of them. So in this century, so we're talking thousands of years ago, you had to have a man to survive. You had to have a man to be in the lead. That's just the way the culture was. All right, so here we have three women, not in Israel. They're in a complete different country. Now, Israel, Moses set up for this kind of a situation where you would have young ladies whose husbands passed away who needed to be taken care of. They had a whole thing for this, but not in Moab. So right now, they're completely vulnerable to whatever life throws their way. Now, Naomi gets word that God has looked favorably on Israel, and he ended the famine. So with nothing keeping her there, she aims herself back to Bethlehem. Here again, as in the beginning, Naomi puts her faith and trust in God. She goes on what she heard from other people about the famine ending. She has no proof. She just has word of mouth. It's not exactly like she can call up her family and say, hey, is there food and shelter there that I can have? So once she starts down the road with her two daughter-in-laws, she decides to send the girls home. They're not Israelites. They're Moabites. It would be safer for them to stay where they are, to go to their mothers and fathers and see about continuing on their lives with Moabite husbands. Now, Naomi traveling with two women was treacherous enough. And here she is sending two of them away, which makes it all that much more dangerous for her to continue her trip to Bethlehem. So why is she sending them away? She is being what she has always been to these women. And I would call it, and Shannon Bream, who's the author of this book, calls her a spiritual mother. She must be well aware that for these two women to ever have a chance of a life with another husband, with children, grandchildren, they have to stay here and go back to their parents' household for the protection and guidance that their actual mothers would give them. Now, what is a spiritual mother? So a spiritual mother is a woman that is older, farther down their walk with God. They have studied and lived more life, learned more, and are happy to share it with the younger generation. I am sure we have some spiritual mothers in this congregation right here. I'm positive of it. Now, the ladies do not leave easily. It most certainly shows how much love and respect these ladies have for Naomi. But she reminds them that staying with her is not going to help them. She's not having any more sons for them to marry, or that going with her to a foreign country would help them in any way. So one, Orf, finally decides to go back home. But Ruth was not going to leave her mother-in-law. She tells Naomi that I will not abandon you. Her exact words are very important to pay attention to. Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. You live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. So let's think about this. A young widow, still of age to have a husband and children and a life, voluntarily decides to give it all up to go as a foreigner to a foreign land she has never been to with someone who is not of her own blood and has no hope of finding a husband or anything. That is a very special kind of love that Ruth shows for Naomi. Naomi must have been a really great spiritual mother, because I would say Ruth just went from being a daughter-in-law to being adopted into Naomi's family and becoming her daughter. We would not see this as a spiritual conversion, but as an act of unconditional love, faith, and trust in Naomi. She must have completely believed all Naomi, now her mother, had been teaching her and her sister-in-law while they had been together all those years. It can be safe to assume that while Naomi was in Moab, that she continued with her Jewish faith and practices, observing all the festivals, maintaining the laws of Moses, and expecting her daughter-in-laws to do the same since they married Israelite husbands. It shows that through this whole story, God has been working in the background the whole time. It could be considered providential. We don't see him talk to any of the individuals in the story, but we do see that when the women arrive in Bethlehem, that it's harvest time, which, as we would see later in the story, allows for food to be gathered and family bonds to be restored. We also see deep grief in Naomi. She tells them not to call her Naomi, which means sweet, but bitter or Mara. She believes the Lord has turned against her. And who can blame her for that grief? It is justified and acceptable to feel this way. She does not see the plan, but as always, God has one. So, back to my original story. So, here's this young lady, has four children, and her husband has gone up to be with the Lord. So, with the help of family and friends, she was able to manage and get through. And then one day, some of these friends introduced her to a nice gentleman. And it just so happened, he was a widower himself and had a young child. And so they decided to put their families together. And as love would have it, they had a child of their own. So, much like Naomi and everything, God's plan is mysterious. We don't know what his plan is. Out of heartache and loss comes different outcomes than are intended when we start. So how does Ruth and Naomi's story end? Well, since Ruth and Naomi make it to Bethlehem, they happen to find a family member that was willing to take on the responsibility of taking care of the two young ladies. And his name was Boaz. The book of Ruth ends this way. Boaz married Ruth. She became his wife. Boaz slept with her. By God's gracious gift, she conceived and had a son. Town women said to Naomi, "Blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's more to you than even seven sons." Naomi took the baby, held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, waiting on him hand and foot. The neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. But his real name was Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And David was soon to be called King David, the forefather of Jesus of Nazareth. God has a plan, but we do not always see it. All we can do is put our faith in him, knowing that his plan is better than any plan we can come up with. Pastor Eugene H. Peterson summarized Ruth this way: we count, every last one of us, and what we do counts. Amen. I think the next thing we have